Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you. You may be seated. I'd like to just speak to you this morning about four words that I believe God wants to burn in your spirit to change your life. And if you'll open your Bibles with me to Galatians, the first chapter, I like to read verse 3. And it begins, and I'm reading from the New International Version. It says, "Grace and peace to you." Grace. I like it. I'm not just reading a verse or a biblical greeting. I'm saying something to you right now. Check out of your head and into your spirit for a moment. God is saying to you, grace, favor. Amen. Open yourself to receive that. Amen. Open yourself to receive it. Yes. Whatever's going on in your life right now, God's saying to you, I'm pouring favor in. Amen. I'm fixing stuff. I'm moving things. I'm changing things. Yes. I'm changing them right now. Receive the favor. You can just hear me or you can receive it. Big difference. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to my desperation and neediness. How many have that version? To rescue us from the present evil age according to scientific evidence. Oh, let's get contemporary. Is this an evil age? Yes. Well, I mean to tell you, this is the most evil age that mankind has ever experienced. And so this verse is real contemporary. God says, I want to rescue you from this evil age. This present evil age. Now, I know some people might say, well, yeah, that means when we're going to go to heaven. Well, if that was really what it's saying, then we just take out a weapon and put you all rescued. No, but he wants to rescue us from the influence and the power of this present evil age. According to the will of God. According to the will of God. According to the will. Rescue us. I think that's a good word. And I want you to understand how God wants you to be rescued. Secondly, let's look at Psalm 64 and verse 1. I'm just laying a little foundation here. Psalm 64 and verse 1. Psalm 64 and verse 1 says, "Hear me, O God, as I voice my complaint. Protect my life from the threat." Everybody say threat.
Threat.
This is another contemporary word.
Right.
From the threat of the enemy. Protect my life from the threat of the enemy. We have in this city what's called a threat assessment. Right. So we understand that our world thinks every day in terms of threats, and there's threats that come to your life every day. But here the psalmist says, protect my life from the threat of the enemy. Now the enemy, that's his nature. He's designed to put everything he can on you, to kill you, to steal from you, to destroy you, as you are well taught here, and I know you know. But here David says, protect my life from the threat of enemy. Why is that in the Bible? If it's not possible to be protected from the threat, why is it in the Bible?
Right.
Say, well, Pastor, that's in the Old Testament. All right, well, go with me to my text then. Luke 10. Luke 10, this is New Testament, in case you don't like the Old Testament. Luke 10 and verse 17 says, "The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." I like that.
Yes.
Demons submit. I'd like you to say that this morning. Demons, submit.
Demons, submit.
Now, that's not just a statement. That's a command.
Amen.
Demons, submit.
Demons, submit.
You know, well, Pastor, we're not in Africa. Oh, let me tell you, there's sophisticated demons in this country. Even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Now notice verse 19. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
Yes.
Now here's the four words. Here's the four words God wants you to get in the next few minutes. The four words that you need to carry with you the rest of the days of your life. If you're going to live well, if you're going to be protected from the threat of the enemy, you need to carry these words inside of you. They need to become so much a part of the way you think and live and act. These next four words in the Bible, they're astonishing, they're amazing, they're huge, because they have to do with all of our lives. Jesus said this. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. He said, nothing will harm you. Let's take that first word. Everybody say nothing.
Nothing.
Now, I'm sure you can think of a lot of somethings, because you've already got experience with somethings. But here Jesus said, this is my design for your life. I made you to be indestructible. I made you to be indestructible. So I'm telling you a truth you need to carry with you. Nothing. Everybody say it again. Nothing.
Nothing.
Say it again. Nothing.
Nothing.
Now let's make it personal. Let us say, nothing will harm me.
Nothing will harm me.
Say it again. Nothing will harm me.
Nothing will harm me.
Now these four little words are huge in their implication and their application to our lives. Because there is constantly threats against you. You see, we don't know what's coming toward us. But we do know what's coming toward us. Well, Pastor, make up your mind. Don't we know or do we know? Well, we don't know specifically, perhaps. But we do know what's coming toward us. Because we're believers and we walk and live and exercise faith in the grace of God, we know that the favor of God is always moving toward us. The promises are unfolding because we sow and we believe. So we know those things are coming toward us, or we're walking toward them in our journey. And we also know, because the devil's not dead, some of you are surprised about that, he's going to continue doing what he's doing.
Right.
So we need to maximize one and prevent the other.
Right.
How many of you know that prevention is a whole lot better than cure?
Amen.
I'd much rather kick the devil out when he's coming in rather than have to kick him out after he's already in.
Right. Yes.
Right.
He says, nothing will harm you. Nothing will harm you. Then the last line, just so that we kind of tie it all together, I won't have time to make these connections. However, don't rejoice that the Spirit submit to you. The Spirit submit to you. That's an important realization. Spirits submit to you. Spirits submit to you. But let's go back to these four words. Nothing will harm you. I have a friend who pastors in Canada, and he's got a great church there. He has a Christian school, and they had a part of their school was a special needs area. And so they were doing a great job, and they had a great testimony in the city, and people were coming in and giving their lives to Christ, and the church was going. And all of a sudden, one day, one of their employees, for reasons that I don't know anything about, doesn't really matter, decided that she was disgruntled with the school leadership. And so she made a report to the government officials that the school was involved in fraudulent accounting and abuse of the children. So here they are. They're trying to do the will of God. They're doing a great job. And here's a threat. Here's a threat. And, you know, it hit the papers. So all across the city, this church is being investigated for fraudulent accounting and abuse of children of the worst kind. And he wrote to me, and he told me to pray. I prayed, and the Lord spoke to me, and he spoke to me this verse. So I wrote it back to him. I said, here's the word of the Lord to you. Nothing will harm you. The devil isn't dead yet, and it's his day is coming. But until he is dead, he will go on attacking. But God said, nothing will harm you. So God isn't about to kill the devil just for you. But he is going to protect you from every attack, from every threat. And so, anyway, it hit the papers, and it looked like the government was going to suspend the license that they had for the school. And, you know, the church was really kind of shaken by it because, you know, where do you go? Oh, you go to that one. All right. You can just imagine the impact of this. And anyway, I sent the word of the Lord to them, and they continued in faith and prayer. And sure enough, it went to court. The court date was set. Just before the court date was set, in the investigations of the primary accusing witness, there was a breaking of this person, a confession that all this had been fabricated. Totally fabricated. Well, of course, that went in the papers. And as a result of all the publicity, the church is bigger, the school is bigger, there's more children being looked after than ever. So I want to say to you, on the other side of every threat, there is an awesome, enlarging breakthrough for you in your circumstance and your situation. There's a testimony. There's a miracle. There's a release of grace on the other side of every threat that you face. I got too many stories. Not long ago, I was in Uganda, and one of the pastors came to me and he said, would you go into this village that is known for witchcraft and child sacrifice? And I said, sure. And he said, well, there isn't any pastor that we've spoken to anywhere that will go there because of the stuff that's going on there. I said, that's fine with me. I'll go. So we went. And God helped us, and we fed about 400 orphan children rice and pieces of meat. They had never, ever had such a luxurious meal. Wow. I'll never forget it, feeding those children. It was just one of the most tearful, amazing experiences. And I was asking, I said, this whole child sacrifice, how does that happen? They said, well, you know, it's done very carefully. You know, somebody says, oh, where is so-and-so? And they say, oh, well, he went to visit an uncle. He's never seen again. Well, where's the little girl? Oh, she went to stay with her auntie. So anyway, we fed the children. We went down into the village for the crusade. And I spoke, as the Lord directed me, I spoke on how much does Jesus love children. Now, why was God having me speak how much does Jesus love children? Because he wanted there to be sufficient basis for dealing with the threat in that community. He wanted there to be a devastation to the works of darkness. Amen. So those people stop living under that condition, that threat. So I did. I spoke on how much does Jesus love children. In the middle of the message, I stopped and I said, now I want to give a warning. So what did Jesus say? If you cause one of these little ones to stumble. Anyway, long story short, probably 80% of the town came to know Christ as their Savior. The tribal chief came to us in the inn and he said, this is absolutely amazing. Never seen, heard anything like this. A year later, we went back. He said, there has not been one child sacrificed. Wow. The whole spirit of our area has changed, and we would like you to come and build a school and a church here in this town. It's all too easy to live under a threat rather than to respond to a threat as God intends us to respond. So how does it work? How does it work? I'll skip about 12 pages of my notes here. First of all, every truth is activated by faith. As you know, every truth is activated by faith. It's not just enough to know you have a Bible.
Yeah.
It's not enough just to know that a verse of Scripture. There has to be, as Hebrews says, there's got to be a mixing of the Word with faith. Faith is generated in the heart realm, as you know. And as faith connects with the Word spoken, you become a powerful person. A powerful person. So let's apply it. Nothing will harm you. That verse is meant to be part of your compass for living.
Amen.
But it'll only be part of your compass for living if nothing will harm you gets inside of you.
Right.
Now, faith occurs at two levels. First of all, in an instant, and sometimes over a period of time as something is cultivated. A couple of weeks ago, I was taking a ministry trip to Oman and India, and the schedule there was rigorous, to say the least. So my friend and I were ministering one time after another. We would pass each other. He was going to one compound, I was going to another. We'd preach here, get up, and then go to the next one. And in between times, we would eat 10 tons of rice and biryani. And so then before that was hardly over, we jumped on a plane, flew through the night into India. We were an hour in the hotel. Then we were back in meetings in India and the same sort of program. Well, during the course of that, I lost my voice. So I have no voice. And I'm on the platform getting ready to be introduced to the largest congregation that we'll be ministering to, several thousand people. The pastor is just about to introduce me as the speaker. My friend who organized the meetings leans over to me and he says, "Well, are you going to speak?" Now, what he didn't know was just before he asked me if I was going to speak, the Lord reminded me a verse of Scripture. It's exactly what he said to Abram. He said to Abram, "Go and I will show." In the West, we reverse it. "Lord, show me, then I'll go." God said, "Go and I'll show." So I just said, to him. 20 seconds later, the pastor introduced me. I walk up there, shake hands with him, give him a hug, and I turned to the people, and my voice was there. Now, that's not because I'm anybody special. But that's what I'm saying is that sometimes faith happens in an instant. You hear a word from the Lord, you believe it, you act on it, and God does what he does so well. Other times, faith is something that's cultivated in a season or a period of time. I have a Japanese friend, he pastored 25 years. He had 20 people. He absolutely was persuaded that God had called him to be to pastor and to build a great and large congregation. But after 25 years and 20 people, he got so upset and so discouraged. He says, "I got to go back to the manual. There's something here I'm missing. I'm not getting it. What's wrong here?" And God gave him a verse. And so he looked at the verse, and the verse says, "When I'm weak, then I'm strong." And so he took that verse, and every day he'd walk in his house fasting. "When I'm weak, then I'm strong. I know there's something here. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. When I'm weak, then I'm strong." When I'm weak, then I'm strong. But when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And every day he's back and forth with this verse. And he's looking at the printed page. He's saying it aloud. He's lying on the floor. He's kicking his feet in the air. He's weeping. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Then I'm weak, then I'm strong. And then he got up and he looked in the original. And he looked at the word then. Then in the Greek language means at that same moment. So he said, well, okay, I'm going to put that in. When I'm weak, at that same moment, I'm strong. When I am weak, at that same moment, I'm strong. And it wasn't too long, and all of a sudden, there was a huge explosion inside of him. Faith came, and his church mushroomed as a result of faith being cultivated in his inner man. And so every truth is activated by faith. And so you carry with you today, nothing will harm me. You see, it's an inner conviction, an inner and outer confession, and an outward activation. You have to live as though you actually believe what you think. You know, it's easier to act and talk as though trouble will overtake you. Sometimes people with gray hair, I won't look around here, are sometimes known to say, well, you know, I'm getting older. You know, my memory's not so good. What was your name? And, you know, if you're not careful, you can begin to accommodate what you don't want.
Right.
What bothers you. What makes your life difficult. Well, you know, I just kind of feel like I'm coming down with something. Come down with heaven. It's an abiding conviction. Nothing will harm me. Faith, you see, is opposite to the fear form of faith. It has no torment. It only has peace and confidence. I like Psalm 112, verse 6 to 8 says, surely he will never be shaken. Let's just make it personal here. Say, I'll never be shaken.
I'll never shaken.
Say it again. I'll never be shaken.
I'll never shaken.
It says, a righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news.
Amen.
You know, bad news comes. Hello. If you live and breathe, bad news comes. But you will have no fear of it. You will have no fear of it. You'll not anticipate it. You won't welcome it. Oh, come on in. No, no. You see, the heart always is forced to face the contradictions of life and come up with an immediate response. I knew as I was sitting on that platform that God had called me to be there. But this is the contradiction. My voice wasn't operational. So either I was going to accept the contradiction. I was going to accept the contradiction. Somebody else have to do it. Or I was going to have a response.
Right.
And I need it now. I need a response now. He'll have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. I like that. His heart is secure. He'll have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes.
Amen.
So think for a moment as I finish. Think for a moment. What's your foe? What's your opposition? What's the threat that's been coming at you? You need to speak up about it.
Amen.
In here and out here.
Yes.
You say, look, devil, you're a loser. I'm a winner. You're a loser, I'm a winner. It's something you learn to confess every day. It's part of the way you live. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes you get a symptom in your body. Anybody here ever had a symptom in your body? Hello. As soon as you get any symptom that's contradictory to the promises of this book, you say aloud, nothing will harm me. You don't start processing. Well, you know, this could be cancer. You know, could be a rare disease. You know, I've learned to have an immediate response. The devil comes and he knocks. It's your first response. Listen to me. It's your first immediate response that sets the compass of your direction and its direction. Let me close with this testimony. I have a friend who went to the doctor for a checkup. They checked him out. And they said, "You have high blood pressure." He said, "No, I do not." He said, "I'm sorry, sir, you have high blood pressure." He said, "No, I don't." Now, you might think as you sit there today, he was being rude and he was living in denial. He wasn't anywhere near the Nile. But it is part of the way our world thinks. If you deny something that there's scientific evidence for, then you are living in denial.
Right.
And so you not only have a physical problem, you got a mental one. Come on now. This is real. I said, "Sir, we have the evidence right here. You have high blood pressure." And here's what he said to him. "Let me explain something to you, sir. It is impossible for me to have high blood pressure." No, it's impossible for me to have high blood pressure. Your results are wrong. Test me again." They tested him again and they apologized. What am I saying? In that little space of time, he was dealing with the threat. He was dealing with the threat. He was dealing with the threat. He was really saying, "Nothing will harm me. Nothing's going to harm me. I'm not accepting it. I'm resisting the devil," and he flees. Stand to your feet. I want to pray with you today, because I know as I stand here, there are those of you who are here, and you know exactly what I'm saying, because a threat is now in your mind. Maybe there's a threat in your body, a threat in your family, a threat in your... And the devil always comes and he amplifies it. He turns up the amplifier. He turns up the volume. He says, "You know, this and this and this is going to happen. That's going to happen." Today, God is telling you, "I provided an answer for you. I provided a faith-based answer for you. You need to speak up and speak out. You need to take something into your spirit today that gives you the awesome power to remove the threat, to reduce the threat assessment to zero, and to bring in its replacement, the blessing of the Lord." While your eyes are closed today, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and he's saying to you, "This is that. This is that. What's been going on in your head? You were crying out for an answer. Here's the answer. For this threat and every other threat you're going to face down the line until you see Jesus. When you speak, you always need to address who you are speaking to and what you are speaking about. Your declaration can't be just words. You have to speak to and about. So I'd like us all today, as we finish, I'd like you to speak to something. Speak to the threat. Speak to the threat. The one behind the threat. The one who steals, kills, and destroys. I want you to make a declaration to him. Even if you don't see the immediate circumstances change before you get out of this building, inside, they will have changed. Inside you, you're on a different course. You're on a different course. So let's all say it aloud together. Nothing shall harm me. Nothing shall harm me all the rest of the days of my life. Every day, I confess, I declare, nothing, 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 nothing will harm me. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.